Good morning and welcome to Seeing with the Eyes of Love. Good morning, Sherry.
Hey, good morning, Ashwini.
Okay, well, we have a wonderful quote today. What is it?
I've heard it two or three times, and it's still not enough.
Here it is. If you are a lover of life, you feel a dagger in your heart. Wherever people are treated cruelly, wherever any living creature is in pain, you suffer the pain, but your suffering releases endless energy that flows forth in creative action. Shall I read it again?
Yes, please.
If you are a lover of all life, you feel a dagger in your heart. Wherever people are treated cruelly, wherever any living creature is in pain, you suffer the pain, but your suffering releases endless energy that flows forth in creative action.
All right. That does seem to capture where we are, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. And so without much further ado, I am going to bring our first caller on air. First caller,
right,
you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. This is Rob from Minnesota.
Well, hello.
Hi, Rob.
Hi. I am so glad to be here and wanted to just let you know that even though this is only the second time I've been able to join these calls, just knowing that they existed from right after the election onwards has been a great gift.
Oh, good. And you know they're recorded.
I do know, and I'm looking forward to having the time to catch up.
All right, good.
Well, I wanted to share, I don't know, there may have been lots of discussion of these kinds of things already, but I'm going to just jump in anyway. But an image that came up, a kind of encouraging image right after the election, and then my question basically is, I would love suggestions on putting this into practice in everyday life. But the image is this, and it's from a Japanese movie I saw years and years ago. I can't remember what the movie is, but it's a little village centered around just a little tiny square. And in the town, there's a scary samurai who has suffered a lot in his life and is filled with rage. And there's a moment at which one night the samurai is drunk and he's out in the middle of the town, screaming and waving his sword and kind of being very scary. And a little old guy kind of gets up out of bed and walks out into the square and walks up to the samurai and says, "It looks like you're working so hard. How can I help you?" And the samurai just kind of softens and melts and drops to his knees and starts to cry, and the old man can kind of comfort him. But that's been my impulse somehow with all the kind of angry rhetoric on all sides, and that anger is like to wonder, how can I be so big as to surround it with that kind of an attitude?
Well, what occurs to me, right, first of all, I don't know. that's always the first thing that occurs to me. But what dropped in when you were telling that story is that if that little fellow had said, you know, there's so much anger and hatred and fear and despair in the world, I need to do something about it. I suspect he would have been bedridden.
Yes.
But what he did was simply respond to the person who was in front of him.
Yeah. Yeah, I see that.
And over the years, long before this particular election, people have talked to me from that perspective of there's just so much wrong. You know, where do you start? You know, is it pollution? Is it poverty? Is it hunger? Is it abuse? It's just completely overwhelming. And people get paralyzed by that image of such a big picture, only it's not the big picture, but it's a big view that's presented to us of everything that needs to be fixed or changed or helped. And if we fall for that, and especially if we stay stuck in that, then we actually do, as the old saying goes, we become part of the problem, because we become one more person who's stuck in, oh my God, this is what's wrong, and well, actually, I think you're the cause of it.
Exactly. No, yeah, I get this image. It's this, you know, when you create something impossibly huge and imaginary in your mind, then you're always fighting these imaginary demons, and you're not really seeing what's happening right in the moment.
Yes, and we're not seeing the real demon, which is the one creating that imaginary, hopeless scenario for us.
Right. Right.
Because that's the shared demon, right? That's the the root cause of all of the suffering that exists in the world. It's that same conversation. The content of the conversation differs, but the conversation is the same for all conditioned human beings.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's as you're saying that, yeah, it just prevents me when I'm believing those stories from just, you know, turning away from all the stories, my own and anybody else's, and just saying, what's really happening right now? And in that scenario, it's like when someone is angry, there's a, and I have been, you know, I've experienced this in pieces, but you can kind of step back and go, wow, this person is really hurting. Wow, this is really a hurting person. What could I do? Is there anything I can do? What can I do?
Yes. Yes. What can I do right now?
What can I do right now? Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, the first hurting person that we want to attend to, as the Buddha pointed out, is ourselves.
Yes.
And so can we bring that peace and comfort to the one human being, as my teacher would say, whose suffering you can actually experience? Because, of course, attempting to end our suffering by changing something in somebody else is really popular. Because I don't have to face my suffering, my pain. I can know what's going on. So I'm right. I can see what's wrong and what the solution is and how people should be different in order to make this happen. And all the time, the person who's really having the experience is left in misery.
Yes, yes. Yeah, it's, you know, as you're putting that out, what drops in for me is something that I read years ago in a book about parenting, but it just seems to me to be sort of universal advice. And it was talking about teenagers acting out in various ways. And this writer just kindly said, if you don't know quite what to do, it's never going to be wrong to be reassuring. And I've used that with myself, but I realized that there are situations, too, in life with other people where there's high emotion, and I don't even know what's going on, but it doesn't hurt to be, you know, if nothing else drops in, to be reassuring and say, you're going to be okay, it's going to be okay.
Right. It's going to be okay.
That never seems amiss, inside
right.
and outside.
Yes, yes, exactly. And as the quote this morning says, and it is kind of what we've been talking about along, first we get that. There. Okay, we get calmed down enough to realize, to look at what we really want mm-hmm. in life. And for us, those of us certainly who tune in here, it's to be compassionate, to find loving kindness and compassion. It's that, you know, there's that pain in the heart when anyone or anything is suffering. We recognize that. We want to help, to reassure, mm-hmm. to offer whatever. So it's not passive. There's nothing passive about it.
Yes.
You know, if there's a child next to me who is hungry, I'm not going to say, "Oh, it's okay, sweetie. You know, it's going to be fine. You're going to be just fine." And then I walk off down the street to have lunch with my friends.
Right.
Right? Yeah. And of course, a lot of people have a lot of anger at those of us who have been living that way. You know, it's been yeah. really easy for us. And so the fact that it's really hard for other people just managed to slip our notice. And now we are those people, right?
That's right.
Yeah, and so there's nothing passive about it, and there never has been. We
yes.
were one of my favorite Mother Teresa moments was when somebody asked her about being required to be holy, which is mm-hmm. that kind of conditioned yeah. orientation that we can get to with somebody
right.
like that. And she said, I am required to be holy, and you are too. So to
yeah.
realize that, okay, we might not have been as attentive as we could have been, but it's not too late. We
mm-hmm.
can still choose love and do what life is calling us to do in the moment.
Yes. Yes.
Uh-huh.
No, and it's such an energy giving thing to put the mind on, because
yes.
talk about reassuring. It's like
yes.
it's a universal solution, right? Because if the commitment is to being in the moment and responding appropriately to what's going on right now, that can always be done. And as you
yes.
as you point out, the only problem is remembering.
Exactly, which is why we want to stay really closely connected with people who have the same orientation we have. Again,
exactly.
I hear from so many people that they have become addicted. Now they were, you know, in one of those honest moments, they will say to me, "Well, yeah, I was kind of always addicted to Facebook, but you know, it wasn't really a
yeah.
problem." And so people talk about being addicted to the negativity that exists now.
Yes.
And being able to feel how it's just destroying their energy system.
Yes.
And yet,
yep.
how do you get disconnected? Well, you know, that's part of what we're doing here, is hoping that people who don't want to live in that negativity will have a constant place to connect with other people who don't want to live in that negativity and who will encourage that. Well, what can you do where you are right now in your life in this moment? And it may be as, you know, it may be doing the dishes or fixing breakfast for the kids, or it may be volunteering somewhere, or it may be doing a fundraiser for an organization that you particularly feel strongly about, or it may be it's finding those ways to take those steps that we knew were available for us to take before.
Yes.
But they weren't a priority.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now they're a priority.
Exactly. Yeah. And as you know, what I see when you're saying that is that one of the things that I've learned from practice is to not turn that into a conditioned story of,
yes.
well, you better find that thing now, because what I really see from observing closely what really happens is that once there's an intention like that, it's
mm-hmm.
just a matter of time before the opportunity comes up. And then there's this little bell in the head that just goes, you know that thing you wanted to do? Here's your chance.
Here it is. Here it is.
Yep.
Yeah.
And not to worry about that or be impatient or beat myself up because I haven't found that opportunity yet. It's just like I set that intention,
yes,
and I know it's going to happen.
Yes, I've set that intention. I'm open. I'm available. You know, it's kind of like,
yep,
you hold your hands out in case life wants to give you anything. And I'm not engaging in any conversation in my head. That's probably the greatest gift that we could all give the world right now, is a solid commitment not to engage in any conversation in conditioned mind.
Yep.
Because, again, if we get it that everything that we're struggling with around the world in any given moment can be traced right back,
yep,
to a conversation in some conditioned mind,
yep,
that spread in that meme-like fashion, right?
Yep.
Took hold and became a thing, right? So if we can nip it in our heads, then we are taking the biggest of all possible steps toward ending that in at least our world and the worlds that we touch.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, and, you know, it's what I'm seeing, too, more and more clearly is that what is there once the conversations are not. You know, I see how good it feels. It's subtle, and it's not as it doesn't have as much salt and fat and sugar as the you know, the Facebook angry feed. But there's, and the thing that I'm seeing more and more is that everybody loves being in the moment and doing that appropriate thing. Like everybody does, you know, you can,
yeah,
see when people are there, and those are the moments they remember, their faces,
yeah,
light up, their body language comes,
yeah,
alive, and that's that help, that's something that helps me go like, well, that's where I want to be. And as,
yeah,
a game, like, what can I do to get other people there? What,
yeah,
what could I do in this moment? Everybody's grumpy in this meeting. What could I do? How could I jolly things up a little bit, or something, you know?
Or be the little guy with the samurai.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Right? Wow, we seem to be struggling here, folks.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder if we can, you know, anybody want to fluff the aura? Yeah.
It's so funny, people, once, you know, once things are kind of fresh and everybody's there in the moment, everybody has fun. Everybody's faces light,
yes,
up.
Yes.
So there's,
yes,
there's feedback. I mean, we don't have to guess. We know when we're getting there because we can,
yes,
see it.
Yes. And you know, in that commitment to be present instead of getting hooked in, because, again, you know, I have to go to this meeting and these people are so negative. It's just such a drag. Oh, hello. You know, I'm not exactly a shining light in,
yeah,
that meeting, right? But if I realize the very best thing that I can offer to any situation is presence, that's,
mm-hmm,
when life can drop in. You know, what could be helpful? And it may just be that you're sitting in that meeting kind of twinkling because your attention,
mm-hmm,
is on being present in the breath and unconditional love, and you become a little beacon for people. You know, they start,
yes,
what in the heck is he doing? And then there's an opening.
Yeah. And it's true, and it's like it, in that mode, that's the kind of moment where you could, you know, somebody comes in, and rather than going off into a story, if it drops in, you can say, "How are you doing?" And they,
yeah,
may not be doing very well, and they may appreciate being able to talk about it a little bit or something.
Yes, and we have all those groovy, reflective, reflecting, drawing out, and clarifying skills.
Exactly.
We can offer into the situation.
Exactly. Just to listen.
Yeah.
Just to say, I'll listen. And reflect you back.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
great.
Thank you so much.
I want to give someone else a chance, but just before I go, I have to tell you, I took your challenge from yesterday, and I made a recording,
uh-huh,
a long recording that said, "I choose openness, kindness, and enjoyment," and I listened to it a ton yesterday. And it worked.
Excellent. Now, the trick is, don't stop.
Okay.
Right? You don't stop. You listen to it every day. And anytime you feel that pull into, you just plug it in, and away you go. Anytime anything else isn't going on that's calling your attention, plug it in, because that's where you want to live.
Will do. Thank
All
you
right.
so much.
Thank you. Ashwini?
Can you hear me, Sherry?
Now I can.
I was just saying thank you, Rob. And before I bring the next caller live, that the point that Rob was making so articulately for us is the problem is in conditioned mind. And when we're in that sort of reality, we're in the problem as opposed to being present to what we can be in the moment.
Yes. Yes.
And that
go
ahead.
No, you go ahead. I just get excited. You know how I am.
That we are not even allowed to be present to the fact that the problem only exists in abstract. It actually doesn't exist in the moment. So when I'm sitting across from somebody who is hungry, I'm not solving. I don't have to be looking at why I can't solve world hunger. But that's what conditioning does. It wants us to focus on the magnitude of a problem that we cannot solve and be blind to the problem that's sitting next to us.
Yes.
Within quotes.
Yes.
The opportunity sitting next to us.
Yes. Yes. Yes, exactly so. And the thing that with what you're saying that's so important for us to get is that the problem is conditioned mind.
Mm-hmm.
That is the problem, and it is the only problem. And falling for what it says is the problem out there is how all the suffering happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's just so big to get because it is what says that is a problem. If it would say, ooh, I am a problem, we would say, yes, you are, and I'm not going to attend to you. But it says that's a problem. It points its imaginary little finger. We look at the problem that it is creating, and we're lost.
Mm-hmm. And it's the same process around pain, which is what the quote is referring to, that the story is that pain needs to be avoided. But if we're present to the pain, what we get to is the caring from which the creative action will flow, which is also part of the conversation, right? That the little man was present to the pain of the samurai, not to his own fear, as a consequence of which he could be kind.
Yes.
Which is creative action.
Yes. And that is a great point, right? Again, conditioned mind's ability to make it about me.
Yep.
So that little guy could have been lying there in his bed going, oh, that guy's totally terrifying. What if he decides to bang down this door and come in here and kill me? Or if it's not that, it's, I wish that guy would shut up. Doesn't he know people are trying to sleep? What is the matter with him so many directions to go that take us away from being in touch with, wow, that guy is in pain. I wonder if there's anything, I just want to let him know I recognize that pain and that I'm with him.
Mm-hmm. If I may read another quote. Mm. It is not that I do not feel pain, but the pain that is in my heart today comes of seeing the pain of others. All my capacity for sorrow, which I used to waste on myself, has been turned into compassion. And the joy that comes of being able to relieve pain never goes away. Everybody's suffering is mine, and I have developed a capacity to help in which I find unlimited joy.
That's it, isn't it? Egocentric karmic conditioning self hate starts off with egocentric for a reason, right? Everything is all about me. Let's bring this back to me and how I feel and what I think and what I believe and what's going on for me, for me, for me, for me.
Yeah.
And there's only ever suffering in that.
Yes. Oh. Okay, so how about I bring up my next caller?
All right, thank you.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, good morning, Sherry. This is Claire.
Well, hello, Claire.
Hello. I wanted to share an experience I had yesterday, if I may.
Yes, please.
I took you upon your guidance to make a recording. I made a recording that said, you know, I choose unconditional love with pauses. And then I had that on loop in my ear, and I went about my day. And I went to visit a lady that I'd never met before who was bedridden. And when I got there, she was very anxious, agitated, unhappy. So I was with her, and I did all the things that I usually do in that situation. I offered words of reassurance, sang to her, held her hand, and she was still agitated, angry, and very unhappy. And at the time, I had the little recording going in my ear, and then my attention went to that recording in my ear about unconditional love, and I thought, okay, there was like an energetic throwing up of the arms of trying to do something. And instead, I just sat down, and I started saying out loud in the gaps, I choose unconditional love. I choose unconditional love. And the lady, she just laid down on her bed with her eyes open and became so peaceful. I was just like blown away by that place.
Oh, my gosh.
That I was turning to myself unconditional love for this person, you know, trying to engender peace in this situation, and it wasn't working, and a place of unconditional love for the lady being as she was, however she wanted to be, and then there was just this resting into peace.
Oh, Claire.
Mm.
Oh.
So I just wanted to say thank you. I'm very touched.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. I'm just so struck by just the power of resting in acceptance and love.
Yes. It's what we all want, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's what most of us have lost and are trying to make our way back to, and there's so little of it around for us. And then to have somebody there who... Wow, what a gift, huh? What a gift for both of you, my gosh. For all of us, because you told us.
it was a complete gift to me, because there was a turning to unconditional love for Claire, you know, doing her best in that situation and, you know, not knowing what to do next. And also just a genuine love for this other person who I projected was suffering and not at peace. And then just to let go into it's all okay and there's always unconditional love. It's just very beautiful.
And such a great point that unconditional love, the nature of unconditional is that it has no limits. There are no boundaries. So everything can be, everything is contained in unconditional love.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed.
And so she could feel that. Both of you could feel that.
Right.
I don't know this, of course, but I bet it was whatever the mathematics are with this, but it was squared with the two of you. You know, there could be just you doing it, or even if just she were doing it, but the two of you being in that place together, it becomes exponential, if those are the correct... Yeah.
Yes. Additive.
Yeah. Additive. Exactly. Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Claire.
But thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity to come together and turn our lives to what truly is important and what serves the world.
Yes. Yes. What serves everybody, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so much of that truly is what happened with you. You know, so if you had made that all about you, you would have been lost in a, oh my God, what do I do? I don't know what to do. This is not working. This is not, and the energy that you brought to it would have, I project, been even more agitating for this poor woman who was already in such suffering. But for you to turn that attention
to the unconditional, to unconditional love, and embrace yourself in it, and to embrace her in it. Oh my gosh, it's just beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deep Gasho.
Gasho to you.
Wow, what a way to begin a day, Sherry.
Oh,
because it's just that place
chills all over.
Chills all over when we drop the ego. The power of love is available in a measure that I cannot harness.
Yes, exactly. That is so beautifully phrased. We have to drop ego because I can't even get what is possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that brings us to the end of another show. So I hope everyone has a wonderful weekend in Thanksgiving continued, and we'll pick up again next Monday.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you so much, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody. Take good care of yourself.
Deep Gasho, Sherry.
Gasho to you.